Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The collaborative art space and brewery known as the Pitch Project has been open for nearly a year in Walker's Point. In that time, it has presented a dynamic, ever-evolving series of installations.
And the newest is no exception. It's a combination of murals, sculpture, and music by the husband and wife team of Carl Ostendarp and Gail Fitzgerald. Relativity Suite opens at the Pitch Project tomorrow night, and Ostendarp, along with Pitch Project co-founder, Milwaukee artist Sonia Thompson, are with us in the studio now. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bonnie. Nice to be here.
Thanks so much.
This is quite an interesting installation, Carl, that you and your wife, Gail, are putting into the Pitch Project. I'm going to have Sonia jump in on this, too. How did this all come about? How were you approached, and what made you say, yes, I want to work here?
Well, actually, Will Pergel, who's one of the team at the Pitch Project, is somebody that I met years ago when he was teaching at he was at Cornell University teaching in the sculpture department for a year, and I've been there for the last 14 years. So I hadn't heard from him since he'd left, but I got a call, and he said, I'm working with some people on this space in Milwaukee, and I'd like you to consider, consider doing a project here. So he sent me some images, and we talked on the phone about possibilities. So it was really a kind of organic process, and like an opportunity that just sort of dropped out of the sky.
And here you are. Yeah.
Yeah, and now here I am.
Was there something about the look of the space that appealed to you? Because you do a lot of installation work. So I imagine that that's something that's really important, is the actual space that you're installing into.
Yeah, I think that's the space itself is a big part of it. Because honestly, the motivation behind these wall paintings originally was to find a way to extend painting in a way that surrounds a viewer rather than it being a kind of a discrete thing on the wall. And honestly, there was something about the way the Pitch Project is organized. I've done projects like this in both museum spaces, one in Frankfurt and at RISD and the Museum at Cornell, but and also in art galleries in different places. But the Pitch Project seems to be a kind of, it's on the one hand, it's an alternative space, but they've got a very clear kind of programming. It seems like they're focused on collaboration in a certain way. Mm. And because they're not sort of strictly a commercial space or strictly a museum space, it seemed like there was a kind of openness or possibility there that would be really interesting to be involved with.
I would think so. Yeah, the idea that it kind of occupies this in-between space.
Yeah.
So, Sonia, was that always part of the idea with the four of you?
I think the collaboration element in terms of how the Pitch Project works is always been there at the beginning. It's been the seed. So Mike Brenner's vision in terms of having his brewery also support an art space. So the idea even in the title is the Pitch Project is pitching yeast to yield more yeast and how ideas can grow and how we can kind of grow an art community. So having the studio surround the gallery and have that kind of collaborative between visiting artists like Carl and the regional artists here, as well as fortunately, and this is our fourth show, but all four of these shows have had a sense of collaboration between two to four artists. So it's kind of an interesting way to think about how we can help grow community instead of it being like a one-person show or really about ego. It's about how ideas kind of grow together, community
yeah.
builds.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, and Carl, you and your wife Gail work together a lot, right? That's another collaboration that's part of this.
Yeah, we've done a number of projects together. I'm actually going pretty far back. We met each other when we were art students in Boston in the early 80s.
Were you at the museum school?
Well, actually, Gail was at Mass Art and I was at Boston University. So she was at the cool school and I was at the not cool school, which that's been a constant in our relationship ever since.
She reminds you.
She lets you know. Yeah.
No, it's just a fact. I mean, I'm not as cool, but I'm okay with that. But we've done a number of these over the years. These exhibitions over the years that started from sort of two person shows that weren't sort of essentially collaborations, but our work has sort of a relationship. I think partly because we've known each other so long, and then more recently shows that are really sort of conceived in such a way as to maintain a kind of autonomy about our work, but also create a kind of atmosphere where each contribution really sort of supports seeing the other.
It's sort of the greater than the sum of its parts kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you were saying about part of what you do, which is kind of like taking painting, sort of expanding it beyond looking at a painting, but kind of being surrounded by painting and by the art itself. Talk a little more about that, because that's just fascinating to me. Because to me, that kind of goes into using the music, which you're also using here, too, because you're surrounded by it. It's just so much better.
Yeah, I guess this idea of the immersive seemed important to me, I think partly because I have this sense in my work that maybe because we have such access to images of artwork now, it's easy to forget the difference between actually being there and seeing something in its scale and its size, as opposed to seeing an image of it, a picture of it. And the music, each time we've done one of these projects, there's a kind of soundtrack that seems to correspond to the work. Some of the museum projects will involve work from museum collections. And I've used everything from sort of music that's made at the same time work as the objects from the collections, like soul jazz music or heavy psych music or what have you. This time we've got a playlist of spiritual jazz tunes, things like Pharoah Sanders and Alice Coltrane and stuff like that, which I guess when I was a kid and had heard this stuff, I thought, well, gee, that's abstract. It's a kind of a meditation about abstraction, not as a kind of idea of design protocols, but as a kind of manifestation, something that produces abstract feelings in a way.
There's also Don Cherry, right? That's the kind of the one of the main pieces that you're using as inspiration.
Yeah, a couple of great Don Cherry tunes, and actually the show got its the title from a Don Cherry album called Relativity Suite. I think in the back of my head, I was thinking relatively sweet, like. That might be a response. Yeah, I've got a kind of a vinyl addiction ever since we moved to Ithaca 14 years ago from Manhattan, and have been buying.
Had the room
a lot
to
of
buy.
Records. Yeah, had some space to buy
to put it in. Yeah,
records, and lately this is what we've been listening to at home.
Describe for me, if you will, what somebody who hasn't seen your work or doesn't know, what will they experience when they walk into the space once you and Gail are finished with it?
Well, the room has a sort of straight-ahead entrance with a entrance. It's a box, essentially. The work that I'm doing is a wall mural that runs around all four sides. There's a couple of breaks for the entryway doors. It's essentially an enlarged image of a running sort of paint drip that runs alongside as though the wall itself is sort of the interior of like a can of paint or something, so that there is this sense that you're inside, that the space that you're inside of is sort of doubled. And then above that line of that sort of dripping line that runs horizontally around the space, we're hanging these objects that Gail's been making that sort of occupy a space between paintings and sculpture. The work, if for people that have some background in art, they may be thinking about process artists from the early 70s in terms of the kind of imagery, and also an idea about abstraction that has to do with, I guess, the space between the behavior of materials that start to seem anthropomorphic, you know, almost like ideal kinds of forms have a kind of behavior to them. And the objects that Gail's making have a really marvelous range of color, so they also sort of index straight painting in a kind of dead-ahead way.
Yeah, and the color part fascinates me in your work, but also in your collaborative work, too, because I love how color works on us.
And yeah, it's like music. It's like a verb.
Yes.
Like the color's happening.
Yeah, color happens to you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us think that we look at color, but I think it actually happens to us.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's lots of art where it's nominative. It's, you know, it's a color that stands for a space or an object or an object under a certain kind of light condition or what have you. But it does have the potential to have this sort of present tense thing. For me, one of the big differences for this project is that a lot of the work I've done in the past has been with fairly intense tonal relationships in high chroma colors. And actually this time I'm using a very reduced palette, a very kind of subtle off black gray and an off-white color that has a kind of metallic sheen to it. So it's very different for me. There's a very graphic kind of thing. I wanted to find a way to make sure the color in Gail's work read very clearly. And I also wanted to make clear the connection of the drip line as it goes around the room through the breaks of the doors. We're a couple of days into installation, and things seem to be going all right.
Good.
But it's always a surprise, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of it, too, is that it has to be a surprise for you, too, to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, you just can't. I mean, you can build models and make drawings and do, you know, preparatory studies. And it does involve a lot of preparation. But until you're actually in the space at full scale, you don't really have a sense of how it's, you know, how it feels.
So, Sonia, what are you hoping that people take away from this when they come see it?
I guess I just wanted to follow up with what Carl was saying about the installation. One of the things that's been really exciting is that every show has really transformed the space. So it is a fairly neutral or charged white box, depending on how you think about that space. But with the first show with the wheat pasting and the second show with the video, so you're kind of walking into this dark room and experiencing video and light in a different way. And then the last show, Girl Don't Be Dumb, had neon fluorescent lights that really messed with your perception of color and space. And their photographs slowly started to emerge as those lights faded. And then here, Carl and Gail are creating this immersive experience. So it's really exciting that every show, because we have the opportunity to have such long durations of shows, that people can really transform and make the space a new experience for people so that they come back and revisit and think about how this installation, although it's a lot about language about painting and about, well, the abstraction, I really enjoyed what you were just talking about in terms of music and abstraction and color. But they think about how that space and how art can kind of transform an experience.
Well, I love also the idea of, you know, color as an active verb. That's what I'm taking away from our conversation this morning. It's like, I just think that's wonderful.
I have a memory of, you know, when we were kids and film was film and not digital, you'd go to the movie theater, and actually movie theaters weren't tiny little boxes. You'd go to the movie theater and sometimes you'd be lucky enough that after the credits they would run the leader to the film, and it would just be the testing of the color. It would go from yellow to green to blue to violet to red. And I have this very strong memory of sitting in the theater, seeing these huge areas of color sort of transforming and washing over me and thinking, like, this is great, like some kind of drug experience or something. So I think that must have had some effect on, you know, my feeling about color.
And what you became later in your life, Well, looking forward to seeing this very, very much. Thank you both, Carl and Sonia, for coming in this morning and talking about it a little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bonnie, for having us.
Sonia Thompson is one of the co-founders of the Walker's Point art space, The Pitch Project. Relativity Suite by New York-based artist Carl Ostendarp, along with his wife, Gail Fitzgerald, opens tomorrow and runs through May. There is more information at WUWM.com. That's all for Thursday's edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, your NPR station in Milwaukee.
All the latest news is coming your way in about an hour's time at 12 noon with Here and Now from WBUR in Boston and NPR. Right now, though, stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock and Fresh Air is next.